WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I am Dr. Paul Esposito, and I thank you for joining us here today, friends. Thanks for taking 30 minutes of your day today on this Wednesday. Thanks for taking 30 minutes of your Wednesday and joining me. We are in the Word of God. This is where we're at every day. We're tuning into God's frequency. God has got a word for you today. If you go to where He's speaking, and you've done that right now, we're tuning into the Word of God. Word of God speak. We are going to hear a message I just preached this last weekend on Palm Sunday. We call it Palm Sunday message. It's called, Is It I? Boy, I'll tell you, what a horrible time, two or three, if we include the Son of God, people had at the Last Supper. Specifically, here, Peter and Judas. What a terrible night that these guys had. And Jesus is going to say emphatically, it says He was troubled in spirit, meaning He's upset when He says this. Amen, amen. Verily, verily, I say to you that one of you is going to betray me. And then one by one, except for Peter, they said, Is it I? Even Peter motioned to John, You ask him, find out who it was. Because we know it's not him, because he's king of the hill. Peter would never, he said himself, I don't care if everyone around here does that. I will never do that. That's my sermon here today. This will play today and tomorrow. Is it I? If you'd like a copy of it, you can go to my website, wgodradio.com. You can find the link on there, or you can go to my Facebook page. You'll see it up there, WGOD Radio on Facebook. You can hear it from there. You can right-click, save it to your computer. You can write to me, Paul at WMIEFM.com. I will mail you the disc, whatever it takes. Here tonight, if you're tuned in now at 5:33, you got 27 minutes to make it to church. So come on by the church. You're never too late. We're getting into the Word of God. We're looking at the two witnesses. We're up to Revelation chapter. Well, we're in chapter 10, but our main focus is going to be in chapter 11 and the two witnesses. 6 o'clock tonight, you are invited. We are at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. If you can't make it to church, our live feed will kick off right around 6 o'clock, so be with us if you can. And we'll be back again tomorrow with part two of this message. This weekend, my sermon is entitled, On the Road to Emmaus, to look at how Jesus spent His resurrection morning. Okay, here's part one of this message, Is It I? Again, happy Palm Sunday to everyone. Starting today, we enter Passion Week. Passover began last night at sundown. We'll run through Sunday night, April 4th. And April 4th is our Resurrection Day, Easter. Passion Week is the last week of Jesus' life here on earth. And it's a fascinating study. Many times, and I very well might this year, attend a Maundy Thursday service over at Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral at 7 o'clock, celebrating the Last Supper. My good friend, Pastor Greg Lucere, is the pastor there, Christ Lutheran. Thursday night at 7 will be the celebrate, Maundy Thursday.
Though me and Pastor Greg, I think I got it down at, should be Maundy Wednesday. But that's just being technical. So, and greetings to you, everyone on Facebook. And I think Amun is watching again from Jerusalem. Greetings from all of us here to all of you in Jerusalem and everywhere else around the world. Thanks for joining us here today. Many times. Okay, now we're going to do exactly here this morning. We are going to partake of the Lord's Supper, which he did on this day, whenever this day is, be it Thursday or Wednesday. And my sermon is going to be all the other things that transpired that night in the upper room. So instead of just taking communion here following the service, we're going to look at what happened on this Wednesday or Thursday night in Jerusalem. That's what we're looking at here today. My sermon, as you see on the handout, is entitled, Is It I? Now we're in the 26th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. And we're about to enter into the hour of darkness. Now on the handout, I have another place we're going to be going to later. And that is John chapter 13. So you really could keep maybe a bookmark in both of these. Matthew 26 and then John 13, 21 is on the handout. We're going to read that from the New American Standard Bible coming up. The hour of darkness. Now Jesus told those who arrested him in the garden, he says, this is your hour and the power of darkness. So you see, the time has come where God is going to let Satan have his way for a little while. Which ought to concern the devil. If God is allowing him to have his way, you being evil, better take notice, because something bad is about to happen to you. And Satan is going to do something that he thinks is in his best interest, and that is to kill Jesus. Now, unrelated to Jesus, like a lion eyeing out a lame caribou, the devil knows his victim, because the devil has been studying his victim. Satan knows which of the caribou, or sheep, if you prefer, is the weakest. When it comes to the kingdom of God, the weakest is always the most worldly in the bunch. Not the oldest. A lot of the oldest that I know will blow Satan out of the garden. It's the most worldly is the weakest. The most worldly. The weakest one is the one who fails the John 12, 25 test. That's the litmus test for you this morning. John 12, 25, it says, Jesus says, whoever loves his life will lose it. And whoever hates his life in this world will keep it unto life eternal. That's your litmus test. How are you doing on this 28th day of March, year of our Lord, 2021? Whoever loves his life will lose it. And whoever hates his life in this world will keep it unto life eternal. Now, Jesus warned us about this spiritual condition. He says, these likewise are those sown on stony ground who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, but they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterwards, when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they stumble or fall away, the New American Standard says. Or the New King James says, immediately they are offended. New American Standard calls these people that start off in the faith, calls them temporary. So what, pray tell, is a temporary Christian? How can you be a temporary Christian? So these are the ones like sick caribou. These are the ones that the roaring lion will go after. those who care more about their own hide than trusting in God. Whereas the strongest of the bunch say, bring it on. The strongest know the word of God and say, what can man do to me? The strongest remember ancient church history and declare like an 86-year-old Polycarp who said, 86 years have I served him and he's done me no harm. Bring it on, sister.
Hallelujah.
Is that where you're at? That's the kind of man and woman that's going to cross the finish line in faith. Is that you? Does that describe you? I love the attitude of King David. Listen to what he wrote. He said, when I cry out to God, then my enemies will scatter. This I know because God is for me. Praise God, one of my favorite verses. Instead of if and then, it's when and then. He had such trust in the when that the then was a given. He said, when I cry out to you, then my enemies will scatter. Do you have that kind of faith this morning? Praise God. In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? That's Psalm 56, verse 9, by the way. Keep that in mind as we move forward in Matthew 26 and get a bird's eye view of the Last Supper, knowing this morning that Judas Iscariot is the weak caribou because of his worldliness, because he fears like the world fears. You see a whole bunch of that today, don't you? People that are afraid to walk outside of their own house for nigh on a year now, and you still can't walk outside of your own house? Satan's watching you. I guess you could have your name on his bulletin board for two different ways. Either number one, you're public enemy number one, or number two, you are a weak caribou and he's got your number. Had Judas's number. Judas is the one who passes Satan's own personal test when he says, all that a man has, he will give for his life. That's what Satan thinks about you. And that's what he has said, quotation marks around it, about you until you prove him wrong. All that a man or a woman has, they will give in exchange for their own life. Now, we're in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26. Let's get this service started this morning. Now, it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, that he said to his disciples, you know that after 2 days is the Passover. Ah, must be Wednesday, right? Good Friday was the Passover. He said, after 2 days is the Passover. You know that after 2 days is the Passover, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified. Then the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders of the people assembled at the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas. And they plotted to take Jesus by trickery and kill him. But they said, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar amongst the people. Now, to accurately portray what happened next, we'll disregard at your daughter's calling, and we'll give you more story out of the Gospel of John, chapter 12. We're trying to piece together this picture here. We got to get some from one gospel and some from another. The Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 1, it says, then, 6 days before the Passover, all right, that would be yesterday. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. And there they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, all right, now we're getting down to it here. Verse 5. Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? Now this, he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. And he had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. But Jesus said, leave her alone. She has kept this for this day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always. All right, then, John chapter 13, next chapter over, verse 1. So why don't you come on up here? If I had shorts on, I wouldn't be hot either. John chapter 13, verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Praise God, that's my Jesus. Close the book and go home. Good Lord. He loved them to the end. There's a whole sermon in that, isn't there, Bill? Bill number 2. He loved them to the end. That's what he does. And supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God, and that he was going to God, he rose from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. All right, now back to our main text in Matthew. Don't keep a finger there. We're going to be back there in John 13. Just want you to see, we're building a case here for what's going on, piecing together from these two gospels. Matthew 26, verse 17. God bless you. Now, on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, all right, the lambs were killed on the 14th day of Nisan. Passover was eaten that night. Unleavened bread immediately followed from the 15th to the 21st of Nisan. So oftentimes, the entire feast day was referred to either as Passover or the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Because this could really throw you for a loop, because the Feast of Unleavened Bread starts the day after Passover. But they often refer to the whole thing with one name. That's how you work through this. Now, on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, meaning the whole thing, from killing the lamb. Now on the first, I'm in verse 17. Now on the first day of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover? And he said, go into the city to a certain man and say to him, the teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples. So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. Now, when evening had come, he sat down with the 12. Now, as they were eating, he said, assuredly, or that's the word, amen, assuredly, I say to you that one of you will betray me. All right, now Matthew, the gospel writer, is content with writing like Joe Friday from Dragnet here would write, which would be just the facts, ma'am. But John gives us Jesus' heart. You don't read about his heart here. We're going to read it in another gospel. John, back to John chapter 13, it reads this one verse. It says this. It says, when Jesus had thus said, it says, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you will betray me. All right, it says he was troubled in spirit. It means he was upset. He was upset. This upset him to the core. Not only him, look at the next verse 22. It says, they were exceedingly sorrowful, each one of them. And they began to say to him, Lord, is it I? Would you say that? Would you say that to him? If Jesus got here behind this pulpit and said, I'm telling you, Island Community Church, that one of you is going to betray me, would you answer that way? Is it I? Is it I? Well, shocking. Would you guys say that to God? But when Peter stands up and says, it might be all of them, but it ain't me. I don't care. All you people deny him. Not me. I'd never say that. And he was the only one that had the guts to speak and say what all of us are thinking. Everyone in this church. No, I've known him too long now. I'm too old. I wouldn't do that. I'm not a new believer. Thus and so. No, he says what all of you say. I don't care if everyone else does it. Not me. I'd never do that. That's what he says. He's the only one to speak for all of us because we all think that way. Is it I? Is it I? Is it I? But not Peter. He says, nope, it ain't me. Might be all of you people today, but don't look at me. I would never do that. It's the one who denies it is the one who does it. Do you see that? They all asked if it was him except for Peter who said, I wouldn't do it. And the one who doesn't say it is the one who does it. God help us. Where do you stand this morning? If God said that to you this morning, would you legitimately ask him, is it I? Or would you, like Peter, say, oh, might be Jim, might be Bill over there, any one of those Bills. Paul, not on your life. No, not me. I've struggled before. I'd never do that. We say the same thing, too, with the Jews in the wilderness, don't we? Parts the Red Sea, that one day later they're arguing, and then they all die, 23,000 die in the wilderness, and we'd say, how could they do such a thing? I would never do that. But the Bible says that let him who thinks that he stands take heed, lest he fall. Because what happened, and isn't it funny? This is the great tragedy of the Last Supper. Is everyone wants to blame Judas. But there are two tragedies on the Last Supper. And you're going to tell me Judas's is worse than Peter's? It's not worse. What Judas did is not worse than what Peter did. Peter did something equivalent to this. He put his hand on a stack of Bibles. And he raised his right hand and said, I have never heard of Jesus Christ. Church, don't try that at home.
Thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
You're listening to 91.5 FM and 102.3 FM. This is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music.
From Love Worth Finding, here's Adrian Rogers with a treasure from the Word.
I want you to accept death as a decided fact. That's a fact that many people don't want to face. We sometimes try to change the subject, but the Bible says in Hebrews 9, verse 27, it's appointed unto man once to die. The only exception to whether or not you might die is if Jesus comes first. But not only is it a stubborn fact, it's an uncertain fact. You don't know when you're going to die. You see, David said, yea, though I walk through the valley. And he doesn't know from one moment to the next what is going to happen. You see, God doesn't have to take your life. All he has to do is stop giving it. It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. You see, dear friend, life is a gift from God. If the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Your life is like a vapor on a frosty morning, like a breath on a frosty morning, here for a moment and then gone. And step number one in learning to smile at death is to look death straight in the face. Bring it into focus and say with David, yea, though. It's there. Yes, it's there. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death.
For more about Love Worth Finding and Adrian Rogers, visit our website at lwf.org.
Of the rock that shadows a dry thirst.